This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. From the Garden of Eden to Greek mythology to William Tell and Steve Jobs, the apple has figured prominently in our culture, and we still cherish the forbidden fruit. After millennia of selective breeding, there are now more than 3,000 known varieties of apple. Could these beloved brandy wines and honey crisps be in peril? Josie Glausius wrote about why the extinction of wild apple species in Central Asia could spell disaster for their descendants. Her article, Apples of Eden, Saving the Wild Ancestor of Modern Apples, is part of National Geographic's 8-month Future of Food series. Josie Glausius, hello and welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hello.
So, Saving the Wild Ancestor of Modern Apples, title of your article, are they close to extinction?
They're not close to extinction, but they are definitely threatened. And I'm talking about the wild ancestor of all cultivated varieties of apple, which is called Malus sylvestris. It's found in these very, very diverse fruit and nut forests of Central Asia. It's threatened by a variety of things, including overgrazing of cows and sheep and goats, fuel cutting for timber, and also some global climate change. And because all the apples that we eat are descended from this apple, protecting it is a major concern.
I'd like to ask you more about that, but just imagining the wild ancestors of apple trees, are they sort of like wolves in the plant kingdom or something, this wild breed?
What a fantastic question. Well, I would just like to quote the researcher who I interviewed when he described what a wild Malus sylvestris apple tree would look like. He said, on one wild apple tree in Kyrgyzstan, which is where he works, you can see more variation in apple form than you see in the entire cultivated apple crop in Britain. You can get variation in fruit size, shape, color, flavor, even within the tree, and certainly from tree to tree. This is very different from an apple that you might buy at a supermarket, which will be very uniform in size, very uniform in taste, really quite boring by comparison.
Are they still growing wild in forests in Central Asia or on cultivated land?
Absolutely. They're growing wild in these very, very diverse fruit and nut forests. They're primarily, the area where Adrian Newton works is primarily a walnut forest, but it has more than 300 different types of fruit and nut trees. And these are all wild species. So they're very, very diverse. And yes, they are growing wild.
So Adrian Newton is the British ecologist that you spoke to. Among those making efforts to save wild species. But tell me more about this key ancestor of the modern apple, Malus sylvestris. What's the significance?
A number of years ago, 2010, researchers in Italy sequenced the genome of the apple, and they discovered that basically all varieties of apples, including Golden Delicious and Red Delicious and Granny Smith, are all descended from this one apple, from this one wild species of apple, Malus sylvestris.
I love the note that you make for us as a writer that Malus could be either good or evil. Have I got that right?
No, it's actually, I just discovered this myself recently, that the Latin word for apple is malus, M-A-L-U-S, and it also means evil. And this is why the tree of knowledge of good and evil that's mentioned in the book of Genesis is never actually identified. We don't know what kind of fruit tree the biblical writer was referring to. But it's often the tree of knowledge of good and evil is often depicted in art as an apple tree, because the Latin word for apple is malus, and it also, the word malus also means evil in Latin.
We're speaking with Josie Glausius. She wrote about efforts to save the wild ancestor of modern apples for National Geographic. Josie, apples, of course, have been domesticated for thousands of years, going back to the Silk Road when they were interbred to survive. So I'm trying to understand what the purpose of the wild species serve today. If we already have the fruits of their reproduction, why does it matter that the originals are saved?
Well, apple trees have this funny trait, and forgive me, I'm not a horticulturalist, but apple trees in general are not grown from seeds. They're propagated by grafting, which is basically cloning apple trees. So when you keep cloning a tree or a plant, you're basically producing identical copies over and over again. When a plant produces by pollination and producing seeds, it's basically sexual reproduction in the apple tree. And that's how you get genetic diversity in any species, is by sexual reproduction. Cloning does not produce diversity. So what you have with cloned apple trees is the same, you know, the same genes being reproduced over and over again, which means that modern apple varieties have lost a lot of the genetic diversity that wild apples have, including ability to resist pests and diseases. And I want to give one example of ways in which apples in the United States right now are now becoming vulnerable to global climate change, because there are warm spells in February which cause the trees to bloom early. And then, for example, if a snowstorm comes, then the tree basically loses its blossoms, and that's pretty much disastrous for a farmer. So if you can introduce genes into modern varieties that help trees remain dormant through a warm spell, for example, you can enhance that tree's ability to cope with global climate change.
But we need the original apple trees to tap into those genes. Couldn't these wild species just be replicated or grafted in a lab?
They are actually being grown. The wild species Malus sabersii is being grown in orchards in Geneva, New York. And these apple seeds were collected by two horticulturalists who traveled to Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan to collect these seeds. And they came back and they planted them in orchards. They collected something like 130,000 seeds of the wild ancestor. And they planted 1,300 trees of this wild ancestor in Geneva. So in fact, horticulturalists at Cornell, for example, are planting these trees, analyzing their genes, grafting. They are actually trying to use some of these wild apple genes to improve modern varieties.
You write, Josie, that there are a number of wild fruit and nut trees that are threatened, let's say, apricots, walnuts, peaches among them. So why do you think people are so passionate in particular about apples?
I don't know. They taste good. They look good. They store well. They're sweet. They have sort of a very prominent part, prominent role in our imagination. I mean, you just have to look back at the stories of the fruit in the Garden of Eden. Even if we don't know what kind of fruit it is, it seems to figure very prominently in the human imagination.
Well, thank you for allowing us to pick from your tree of knowledge today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Josie Glaucietz is a science writer and co-author of Buzz, The Intimate Bond Between Humans and Insects. Her article, Apples of Eden, Saving the Wild Ancestor of Modern Apples, is part of National Geographic's special 8-month Future of Food series. We have a link to more on it at wordofmouthradio.org.